So we have one more Gemara in this Agadita, and then we'll get back a little bit to Halacha, but it's going to go back and forth and back and forth. But we have here, we're holding on Dalet Amud Aleph, about three quarters of the way down the Amud. It says, V'David mikari l'naf shei chassid, did David call himself a chassid? So this refers back to the Gemara that we learned at the end of the previous year. If you look at the third wide line, there were the two dots, and then it quoted a pasuk to him, L'David shamra nafshi ki chassid ani. David asks Hashem for special protection because he's a chassid. And the Gemara said, what was he referring to? What was his special chassidus? And the Gemara gave two opinions about what was the special claim that he made to being a chassid. But now the Gemara, about 10-15 lines later, calls into question this whole idea that he was calling himself a chassid, because we have a different pasuk in Tehillim, where it says, Lulei hamanti l'ritz v'tuv Hashem be'eretz chayim, which is a pasuk that seems to say that I had faith that I would see goodness in the land of the living, which refers to the next world. However, although the pasuk seems to be saying that David HaMelech was confident of seeing goodness in the next world, Tonu Mishmeidu Rabbi Yasi, we learned in a braisa, in the name of Rabbi Yasi, Lama Nokud Al Lule, why are there dots on the word Lule? It seems that in a accurate Sefer Tehillim, the word Lule is written with dots on top of it. And this braisa says, you know what those dots are for? Whenever you have dots on top of a pasuk, which we have sometimes even in Chumash, the dots on top of the words of on the top of the letters of a word mean to mitigate that word. So lama nakar al lulei, Amar David lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. David said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono shel Olam, muvtach ani b'cha she'ata mishalem tzarcha tov l'tzadikim l'asa lavai. I have complete faith in you. You give schar to the tzaddikim. If somebody's a tzaddik, he could count on liris betuv Hashem be'eretz chayim. That there's no question about. Aval, but any idea, what I don't know is in yesh li chelik b'nehem, whether I am going to have a share among them. So the pasuk sounds like he has complete confidence that he's going to receive the tuv Hashem in olam haba. But in the braisa it says, you know why there are dots there to mitigate the effect of the pasuk? Because what he meant to be saying is, all I have confidence in is that the system works. The tzaddikim gets chayav tov tzaddikim. Right. But whether I'm among the tzaddikim or not, I really have no idea. So what's the Gemara's kasha? We have on the one hand, in last week's Gemara, we had a pasuk where David HaMelech said, I'm a chassid, I'm great. Look, I am so devoted to the people. I get my hands dirty with with their shilas. I'm so devoted that I get up in the middle of the night, unlike the other kings. Whatever the pshatim we had last week, David HaMelech seemed to have confidence that he could face the Ribbono shel Olam and say, look at me, I'm a chassid. And here in this pasuk, David HaMelech seems to have no confidence that he's going to get reward in the next world. So the Gemara answers, Shema Yigar Mechit. David HaMelech, he knew that he was a chassid, but he didn't have confidence that by the time he died, he would still be a chassid, because things could always go wrong. Right now, he's doing well, Shema Nafshi Ki Chassid Ani, but he might still sin, and he never has confidence that he's going to stay, and one should never have confidence, is the theme of the Gemara, that he's going to stay good, even if he's good now.
Is this after the Maisa of Bathsheba?
Yes. These are both.
So that's why he's not sure.
No, because the Maisa of Bathsheba was in the past. He's saying Shema Nafshi Chassid Ani. He's confident in his standing in the present, which means he's gotten past the Maisa of Bathsheba, but he's afraid that future Chatayim are going to interfere.
But he has a track record.
Yeah, okay. Could Rabbi Yaakov very easy?
Call me Shomer. Call me Shomer. Is David Chatayin El Latar?
Yes.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So he's a chassid.
Okay. I mean, on the other hand, that our Gemara doesn't get into Bathsheba, so we're not going to get into it. But there are Mamari Chazal on all sides of that. And David HaMelech talks about Chassid Negdi Kol. What's the Kol Hayoyim? He did a lot of tshuva for that Aveira. So even the Gemara in Shabbos says that you shouldn't say he's a chayte, but Pashas, that Gemara means you shouldn't say that he did the avia voice of the Israel Ish. Okay, so the Gemara over here says that the way to reconcile these two statements is because of a concept called Shema Yigrim HaChet, that maybe a chet will cause a decline from his Madrega. And now the Gemara is going to bring two other places where we're going to see this idea, and as we'll see, it's actually going to build up this idea into a very fundamental idea. First, could Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. So Rav Yaakov Bar Idi Rami. Rav Yaakov Bar Idi asked a steer between two psukim right next to each other. When you learn in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach,
Vayetze,
thank you. The beginning of Parshas Vayetze, it says that first Yaakov Avinu was dreaming and there was a ladder and Hashem was Nitzav Alav and Hashem was speaking to him in the dream and it said, V'hinei anoichi imach u'shmarticha b'chal asher teilech. I am going to be with you and I'm going to guard you wherever you go. V'ksiv, and then it says shortly after that, V'yira Yaakov ma'oid, Yaakov was scared. So Rav Yaakov Bar Idi was bothered. How do you be scared if you just received this kind of a haftacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to guard you wherever you go. Now, Yosef is coming with 400 men. 400 men are no match for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's full shmira. So what was he scared about? So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi explains, Amar, he said, Shema Yigram HaChet. That even though, just last night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me this promise, but by the time Esav arrives, that's going to be in a half an hour from now. Who knows what might happen between last night and a half an hour from now. I might do more chatoyim, and I'm not no longer going to be worthy of that shmira. Kedesanya, as we learned in the Brises, so now here's going to be a third instance of this. Again, we had David HaMelech, we had Yaakov Avinu, and now, Kedesanya, as we learned in the Brises, Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavar Amzuk Nisa. This, in the Shiras Hayam, Moshe Rabbeinu talks about two Yavars, two times that Bnei Yisrael will cross into Eretz Yisrael. Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, so the first day of the Pasuk refers to Zoybi Rishayna, the first time they entered Eretz Yisrael, the times of Yeshua Ben Nun. Ad Yavar Amzukanisa Zoybi Yishniya, this refers to the second time that Bnei Yisrael will enter Eretz Yisrael in the times of Ezra. And Moshe Rabbeinu's intention in putting the two next to each other in the same pasuk to make a hekesh between the Bi'ah Rishayna and the Bi'ah Shniya, Mikan Amru Chachamim, based on this hekesh, Chachamim said, Ru'uyim Hayu Yisrael Le'asis Lahem Neis Bimei Ezra Kederach Shanas Lahem Bimei Yahushua Ben Nun. That really was proper, it was Ro'i, that Bnei Yisrael should have had Nisim in the days of Ezra like they did in the times of Yeshua Ben Nun. We know there's a very strong contrast. In the times of Yeshua Ben Nun, Bnei Yisrael came in, Biyad Chazaka, that it was miraculous, and they conquered Eretz Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu making Nisim for them. And in the times of Ezra, they came in through political favors that Koresh, the king of Persia, gave them permission to come in. So they came in with a few people. That's not the way it was supposed to happen. It was Roy that they would have the same kind of a triumphant return in the days of Ezra as they had in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. Who said so? Moshe Rabbeinu said so. Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavar Amcha Knisa. So what happened? Ella Shegaram HaChet. That they were Chayte. They were no longer on the Madrega. And as a result of that, they lost out on what was promised to them to come B'Yad Rama in the times of Ezra. So this Gemara, the theme of this Gemara is Shema Yigram HaChet. And the Gemara gives three instances. One by David HaMelech, one by Yaakov Avinu, and one by Bnei Yisrael in the times of Ezra. So just in following the process of the Shaka Patara of the Gemara, there's really three very different stories. The first one is not describing any fundamentals in our theology about the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works, as we'll see in a moment, we see in the second instance. The first one is just a person's own personal feelings of confidence. This, the Shema Yigram HaChet by David HaMelech was not about Hashem's promise not being reliable, Chas V'Shalom. It was David HaMelech, we see one day, he said, Shema Nafshi Ki Chasid Ani, he seemed to be very confident in his tzedkus, and the next day he said, Eini Yedei Ani Yeshi Chelek Imahem, I don't really know where I'm going after I die. So how could you have somebody who knows he's a tzaddik and he doesn't know if he's going to Olam Haba? The answer is he's not confident that he's going to remain a tzaddik. So we just see that within a person's own psyche, he can't be confident, he shouldn't be confident that he'll remain a tzaddik just because he is a tzaddik. That's the first Gemara. The second Gemara with Yaakov Avinu is a whole different story. The second Gemara, what the Gemara says by Yaakov Avinu, actually is teaching us chidushim about the way Hashem runs the world. The Gemara is telling us that it's not just somebody who yesterday was confident in his standing, today he should be nervous because Hashem Yigram HaChet. It wasn't that he was confident on his own. He was promised by Hashem. Because Baruch Hu told him, "Ushmarticha b'chol asher telech," I will guard you wherever you go. You'd think that you could take that promise to the bank, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises you, you could rely on that. This Gemara teaches us that no, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises you, you can't rely on it. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word is always true, but Shema Yigam HaChet. Maybe at the time that he promised it, you were worthy, but that's no guarantee that you'll remain worthy. Again, it's the same theme. Shema Yigam HaChet, never be confident that you'll remain worthy, but it's taken to a whole new level that we see from here that you're not even supposed to rely on Hashem's promise because of this concern of Shem Yigam HaChet.
The promise that he made was unconditional, apparently. When he said, I'll guard you,
right?
Not because you will be. It's a
all-encompassing. Okay, that's a good question. So we're gonna return to this in a moment, but to explore a little bit more with the story of Yaakov Avinu. But that's a very good point that you're making, yeah, Donnie.
Yeah, you know, machedish than any human being. If you follow the rules, Hashem will guard you. He's telling Yaakov above and beyond that even if you don't follow the rule, I mean, by giving this haftacha, Hashem tells, if you follow rules to every individual, I'm going to, you'll get a reward. I'm giving him something above and beyond. I mean, I don't even have Shabbat Tacha for that, because that's the rules of the game.
No, that's not the rules of the game. I don't think everybody's guaranteed that if Shmaticha B'chol Asher Telech.
No, I don't need that. I mean, the point is, our theology is, if you follow the rules, Hashem will give you schar. If you don't follow the rules, he'll give you
punishment. Yeah, but the Shmaticha B'chol Asher Telech is not necessarily included in the schar that everyone gets for doing the mitzvahs.
He's giving him above and beyond. He's giving Yaakov above and beyond,
okay.
Meaning that Yaakov, you've got more than anybody else. You don't have to, even if you don't follow rules, I'll still give you. This is a special haftacha that I'm giving you.
So you mean, so then it shouldn't be affected by chet? If you don't follow the rules. But the Gemara says not like that. The Gemara says that Yaakov was still concerned.
So he was afraid of that.
What did he give more to Yaakov than he gave to everybody else?
That if he does follow the rules, then Shmarticha B'chol Asher
Telech. That's what does 13 occur? Hashem punishes those who.
Yeah, no, that doesn't necessarily mean Shmarticha B'chol Asher Telech. That could be a higher level of Shmira than most people are Zaycha to, even if they keep the mitzvahs of the Torah. So the first Gemara was nothing to do with Hashem's promise. Just a person should never be confident that just because he was good until now, he'll continue to be good. The second Gemara is a tremendous chiddush, that even if you have Hashem's promise, you still shouldn't be confident because Hashem Yigam HaChet. And the third Gemara maybe is not a bigger chiddush theologically, but it brings it out much more sharply because you see it actually happened. In Yaakov Avinu's case, he was worried maybe a chet will interfere. But Lamaisa, he did fine. The chet didn't interfere and he remained with Hashem Shmira. In the third Gemara, the one about Ezra, we actually see someone who had a promise that you think he could rely on, and then it didn't happen. And the reason why it didn't happen was because Shegaram HaChet. So again, we see something new in each of these Gemaras. In this third Gemara, we see that it actually really happens that people lose things that they were promised because Shigar Machet. Now, excellent question. We're gonna discuss that in this next conversation. We're gonna discuss that directly. So I want to elaborate a little bit on this inyan of the Shemigar Machet. The one about Yaakov Avinu is really the one that most occupies the Mefarshim over here. That the Gemara seems to be saying that Hashem could give a promise and you can't rely on that promise. That's a very...
It's conditional.
A very amazing thing for the Gemara to say. You say it's conditional. The truth is that even that hardly helps. We're going to get to a Gemara in Daf Zayin where it says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a promise called Dibur, take a look at Daf Zayin, four lines from the bottom. Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. It says, "Kol Dibur B'Dibur Sheyasim Kegas Baruch Hu LeToyva Afilu Al Tznai LeChazar Boy." So even saying that it's conditional isn't really going to resolve this problem. But let me tell you, I wanted to say over a Rambam. There's the Rambam in a couple of places talks about some very very fundamental ideas having to do with Nevuah. And in the course of this discussion, he brings in our Gemara. But I'm going to start the discussion from the beginning. This is in Hilchas Yisoidei HaTorah. Because it's fundamental, so it's in Hilchas Yisoidei HaTorah, the fundamentals of the Torah. Perek Yud of Hilchas Yisoidei HaTorah, The Rambam begins, Kol Navi sheyamid lanu b'yomer shehashem shalachai. Anytime that a Navi comes along and says, Hashem sent me. So how do we decide if he did or he didn't? Right? You could have this, this kind of thing could get out of hand. We believe in Nevuah. Nowadays we think that it's on hiatus, but we believe at least conceptually in Nevuah, and once upon a time, Nevi'im were common among Klal Yisrael. But how do you know? It's very important to know who is and who's not, because you could certainly, it opens the door to charlatans. So how do you test it? So the Rambam says, it's not what you might have thought. Ain't it tzarech lasseis ois? He does not have to make a miracle. Ke'echem me'oiseis Moshe Rabbeinu, ke'oiseis Eliyahu ve'Elisha, she'esh b'hem shinoi minhagei shel olam. He doesn't have to do something miraculous like Moshe and Elio and Elisha did, that they, everyone said, wow, look, something supernatural happened.
Didn't have to walk on water.
Right. Nobody did that. El ha'ez shalai, his miracle is she'yomer dvarim ha'asidim li'ayis ba'ilam. If he says things that are going to happen, ve'yom nidvarav. And then they happen. She'nemar v'chisem v'bavavcha eicha nida es hadav v'chayim v'chulu. It's first in the pasuk, dvarim. That the way that you determine who a real Navi is if his predictions come true. He let him make predictions. I remember one time, this Rambam, I didn't know this Rambam then, but the Rambam says he doesn't have to make miracles like Moshe Rabbeinu. I remember one time I was in the city once, in an elevator, and there was an elevator man, operator, and I guess he thought that I look Hasidic. I guess to him, I look Hasidic. Whatever Hasidic means ultra orthodox. So he said, "Okay, you're the Hasidic guy. So tell me this." He said, "The Lubavitcher Rebbe." Now, mind you, I'm pretty sure the Lubavitcher was not alive at the time of this conversation. But he said, "Why don't you Jews just settle this for once and for all and tell him, if you're for real, go split the East River." God, that's what he said. Then we got to my floor and I got off. That was the conversation. But this man wanted to know, if he's for real, why don't you just tell him he just split the East River? So the Rambam says, that's not the way it works. Rather, if he makes predictions and the predictions come true, so then he's a real Navi.
For better or worse?
Oh, no, okay, we're still in the middle, right? That's we come to the next paragraph. The Rambam then adds in Halacha Dalid, Divrei HaPuranus Shehanavi Yomer. He says, however, predictions for the bad, Kagan Sheyomar, he'll say, Pliny Yomus, Oishana Plinus Shnas Ra'av Aymulcham, okay, to Dvaram Elu. He predicts somebody's death. He predicts somebody. He predicts a famine. He predicts a war. If his words don't come true, that does not refute his nevuah. Does not make him into a navi sheker. We don't say, oh, he spoke and it didn't come true. Sometimes, because he's patient and merciful, he'll sometimes change his mind about a bad intention. This lashon, Erech Apayim v'Rav Chesav Nicham al Hara'ah, is a quote from, you may recognize, from Yom Kippur, it's a quote from Yaina, which of course is the most classic example of this. And the Rambam says, V'efshir sha'asu tshuva v'nistach lahem ka'anshe Ninveh. He said, maybe it happened to them like what happened to Ninveh. So if somebody gets up and he says that the Bronx will be overturned next week, and it isn't overturned, that doesn't make him into a Navi Sheker. It happened to Yain. Yain is not a Navi Sheker. Maybe the people did tshuva. Aval, but, im hivtiach al ha-toiva, if he said something good will happen, v'amar shiyeh kach v'kach v'loi bo ha-toiva, he says he promised a certain good thing will happen and the good thing didn't happen, sh'amar, then be a duashu who navi sheker. That is a proof that he's a navi sheker. Shekol davar toiver sheyigzer hakel, because any good thing that Kodesh Baruch Hu says, afilu al tnai, even if he said it conditionally, any chayzer, he's never going to back out of it. Halamadata shebedivrei hatoiver bovad yibachin hanavi. So he says, now you know that the only test for a navi, the only way that we could test a navi, is when he predicts something good. Predict something bad, that's okay, you could, he could play it safe that way. If you want to be a fake Navi, that's the way to go. Predict something bad. say that a paronis is going to happen, and then they can't really catch you. If it doesn't happen, so they did you. But if you predict something good, then you better be right, because otherwise we're going to be find you guilty of being a Navi Shaka.
How about that concept?
Okay, great question. I'm going to bring that into the discussion shortly. Lean out there when saying over the tzlach. Let's hold off on that. There's a lot to talk about here. It's a broad-ranging discussion. So the Rambam over here, he teaches us that the test for a Navi is not about making miracles, it's about making predictions. And then he clarifies, but it's only positive predictions, not negative predictions. Now, the Rambam writes this again, and we're reading from the Hilchos Sedei HaTorah. Whatever he wrote over here in the Hilchos Sedei HaTorah, he had already written earlier in his Pirush HaMishnayos, which he wrote when he was younger, in his Pirush HaMishnayos, in the Hakdama to the Pirush HaMishnayos. He talks about Nevuah, and he makes the same points, that you don't demand that a Navi should do a Oyster on my face, you just ask him to make predictions, and those predictions have to be true, but only if they're negative predictions. I'm sorry, only if they're positive predictions, not for negative predictions. Then, Frek the Rambam Makasha. Again, he doesn't bring in the kasha here in Hilchos Sedei HaTorah, but in the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos, he then asks the kasha from our Gemara. In our Gemara, it says that Yaakov Avinu was promised, Ushmarticha b'chol asher teilech, I will guard you wherever you go. And Yaakov Avinu wasn't confident that he wouldn't be killed by Esav. Ayira Yaakov Ma'oid, and the Gemara says, why wasn't he confident? Not because of a lack of faith, but because Shema Yigar Mechait. The Gemara thinks that that's even a midah toivah on Yaakov Avinu's part, just like David HaMelech wasn't confident that he'll remain a tzaddik, al tamin ba'atzmacha. So Yaakov Avinu also was al tamin ba'atzmacha, he wasn't confident that he'll remain a tzaddik, and so he wasn't confident of Hashem's shmira. In fact, the Rambam, but if there's a Shema Yigar Mechait, then we can never convict a Navi of being a Navi Sheker. If somebody makes a promise that it's going to be a year of plenty, and then there's a famine that year, so he'll say, oh, I told the truth, but then Garam HaChet interfered. So how can we have this test, which is supposed to stand up in court, right? When we talk about Navi Sheker, Basin prosecutes a Navi Sheker. This is a test that's supposed to stand up in court, that if he made a positive prediction and it didn't come true, then we could convict him of being a Navi Sheker. But Argamar says that there's a Shema Yigar Mechait, there's a possibility that even a positive Nevuah won't come true. So the Rambam over there says, to learn Pshat and Argamara, he says that the Shema Yigar Mechait can only happen to a Nevuah that was told to a Navi that's only negated to the Navi personally. The Navi personally, he's told Yaakov, you know, I'm going to protect you. So then it could come true, it cannot come true. There's no issue of Navi Sheker. But if the Nevuah was relevant to others, if he sent the Navi to communicate to other people that Hashem said that you're going to have a good year if you... Hashem said that this coming year, the economy is going to be good. Inflation will be down, stocks will be off. And then the year comes and inflation is up and the stocks are down, so then he's a Navi Sheker. If he just told the Navi personally, your portfolio is going to double in size, and then it didn't, that's a Shema Yigar Mechait. But if he says, go tell the people of New York that the economy is going to be good, and then it isn't, then he's a Navi Sheker. So there's a difference between a Nevuah for the Navi himself versus a Nevuah for that's for the public. That's the Rambam's story. That's the way he explains our Gemara. Okay, Adkan Devar HaRambam. The Lacha Mishnah here in Hilchos Sedei HaTorah asks the kasha on the Rambam. He asks that, you know, the Rambam brought in one of the cases of our Gemara, the case about Yaakov Avinu. There's a Shem Yigar Mechait. Nevuah is never supposed to go bad. Good Nevuah is never supposed to go bad. So it's a nice teretz that was only for Yaakov Avinu personally. A personal Nevuah doesn't go into this halacha. But what about the last case of the Gemara? Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavar Amduk and Issa. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that the Yidden in the times of Ezra, meaning the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, are going to come into Eretz Yisrael and conquer Israel B'yad Rama with miracles and with military might, and it didn't happen. And the Gemara says, you know why it didn't happen? Because Gerem Achet. But over here, it's a Nevuah, L'Toiva, and it's a Nevuah for the public, and it still didn't happen. So this part of the Gemara seems to be a kasha on the Rambam. I mean, not really on, you know, it's a kasha really mina yubei. It's a kasha on the idea of Nevuah being, you know, we need somehow that Nevuah is supposed to be checkable, right? That there has to be some way of certifying, of verifying a nevuah. So the Rambam explained, he gave us the rules that it has to be a nevuah l'toiva, and it has to be a nevuah that's negated to the public. But all those rules are met in the case of the Biyashniya Bimei Ezra, and still it didn't come true. So how do you reconcile that? So the Lechem Mishnah asks the Kasha, I'm going to put the Lechem Mishnah on hold. The Tzlach, very geshmakish, the Tzlach has an Arichas on this Gemara. As again, the Tzlach is from the Nevi Yehuda, 1700s, this is after the Lechem Mishnah. He doesn't quote the Lechem Mishnah, but he raises the Kasha on his own, and he has some fun with this. He goes through three Mahalchem. Each one is very interesting, but he says which one he likes best. But I'm going to tell you over Bekitzer. The first thing that Tzlach does, he brings in a very lumdisha sugya that you know from elsewhere that really has nothing to do with our, or is not, doesn't seem to be so relevant to our sugya, but a little bit, because our Gemara is talking about the Bia Rishayna, the Bia Shnia, the days of Yeshua, the days of Ezra. So I'm going to say over, just very briefly, because it's not really our subject today, but I'm going to say over very briefly, something the Rambam says in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, where the Rambam says that when the Yidden came in the times of Yeshua, they were Kadesh Eretz Yisrael, we call that Kedusha Rishayna. The Kedusha Rishayna was Kitchel HaShata V'Lei Kitchel HaAsilave. It was temporary, it didn't last. Meaning, they were Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael, and we're talking now about Kedushas Eretz Yisrael in a legal sense. We're not talking about the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being close to the land and having a special bond. We're talking about Tshuma, being the mitzvah of Tshuma and Meister and Shemitah being in effect, Midei Reisa, Min HaTeira. Is it a mitzvah deraisa? Is it not a mitzvah deraisa? So they came into Eretz Yisrael, they were Mekadosh the land, with the land, with its Kedushas, Chayav, and all the mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs, Tzolius Baruch, all the agricultural mitzvahs. But it was like Kitchel HaSalava. It was not a permanent Kedusha. When they were driven out of Eretz Yisrael in the times of Nebuchadnezzar, it all got turned off. The Kedusha disappeared. And the mitzvah of Shuma and Meister and Shemitah and Lekan and Shekhan Peah all disappeared. Then they came back in the times of Ezra. Zuck the Rambam, this time around, the Kedusha was Kitchel HaShata v'Kitchel HaSalava. The Kedusha Shnia that was put in effect in the days of Ezra was a permanent Kedusha. Yoshua's Kedusha was temporary. Ezra's was permanent. Why was Ezra's Kedusha more potent than Yoshua's Kedusha? So Rambam says something really fascinating. It's again, some other time maybe we'll talk about this at more length, because it's very counterintuitive. But the Rambam says that in the days of Yoshua, when the Bnei Yisrael conquered Eretz Yisrael through military conquest, so since the Kedusha came through conquest, so when someone else conquered it, that undid what they did. So it all disappeared. The Kedusha was built on conquest. Nebuchadnezzar came and conquered them, so the Kedusha was removed. In the times of Ezra, they never conquered anything. They just made a kinyan on the land. So since the Kinyan Chazaka, he calls it, since the Kedusha came through a mere Kinyan Chazaka without any military conquest, so that Kedusha couldn't get undone by a military conquest. He just came and conquered them, so you say, oh, let that conquest undo the first conquest. Yeah, but the Kedusha that Ezra instilled wasn't the result of a conquest, and therefore Titus's conquest didn't undo it. So ironically, Yoshua's conquest, which was more impressive, but that got undone because Nebuchadnezzar conquered him, right. So he undid his conquest. But Ezra, which was less impressive, but that was more permanent because Titus came and conquered him, but that didn't undo his Kedusha. Adkan the Rambam. That's what the Rambam says in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. So the Tzlach says, you know what I think? When if there's a haftacha l'toiva, it'll never get undone. It'll never get turned l'ra. But what happened over here? What was so bad that here we had a promise that Ezra was supposed to, the times of Ezra, Bnei Yisrael was supposed to come in biyad rumba like we did in the times of Shuma? No, it didn't happen. All we did was we came in with political permission from Koresh Melech Paras. But that was really a good thing, not a bad thing. Turns out, because of this Chiddush of the Rambam, that's the reason why the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael remained even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So it was a good thing. So we have a principle that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises a good thing, it'll never get reversed. That's true. It didn't get reversed. It just didn't happen the way we expected. But a reversal would mean that instead of something good, we got something bad. But over here, no. Instead of one good thing, we got something that might be even better. Taking over Eretz Yisrael through a mere Kinyan Chazaka without a kibush ended up being better for us because the Kedusha was permanent. So therefore, this is not considered a promise to the good ending up getting reversed to the bad.
That's not what the Gemara is saying.
Ah, so very good, very good. So the Tzlach... I'm going to come to it in a minute. I want to say what the Tzlach's second teretz first, and then I'm going to say what Donnie said. So the Tzlach says that's his first teretz. He has a second teretz that... You know, maybe we'll skip the second teretz. He says he likes that teretz. That's his first teretz, but then he says, but you know, if we were just trying to put together all the stories to make sense out of them, right? We have these rules that a haftacha l'toiv is never supposed to be undone. Over here, it seems to have been undone. So we could resolve that by saying, yeah, this wasn't really getting undone because this was something else good. It was good in a different way. But Donnie's Heining and the Tzlach himself asked us, but it's not like the Gemara, because the Gemara says that this is a result of Shama Yigar Machet. This is a raya to the principle of Shama Yigar Machet. If this was really one good thing replacing another good thing, or maybe even being replaced with something better, then it's not a raya to Shama Yigar Machet. So the Gemara really seems to go against this pshat of the Tzlach. So he says, okay, I'll retract that. Now you'll see, if we have time, we'll come back to later on. The reason why he wrote it, even though he's going to retract it, is because he's going to find a place to put it in later on. But right at this point, he says, maybe the better teretz is as follows. That, so here the Tzlach says, a very mechudesh tikkun yesod. This whole idea that we're learning in the Rambam, that a haftacha l'toiva could never be undone, and the Rambam says, and that's how you test a Navi Sheker. It's all about that there needs to be a way to test a Navi Sheker. And therefore, Haftacha L'Toivah can't be undone, because if Haftacha L'Toivah could be undone, so then we wouldn't have any way of testing a Navi Sheker. The whole reason why it can't be undone, it can never become untrue, is because if it could, then we would have no way of testing whether a Navi was real or fake. So there has to be a rule that a Haftacha L'Toivah will never get undone. The Tzlach says that the truth is that that really is the deeper understanding of the distinction that the Rambam made between a Haftacha for the public and a Haftacha that's given in private. Why is it, if it's just Hashem's nature, that Kaviyachal, that if he says something good, he'll never change his mind, so why is it only if he says it for the public and not if he says it for the private, for the individual? The answer is because it's not about that this is Hashem's nature. It's just that there needs to be a way of determining who's a Navi Sheker and who's not. So if it was just said to a Navi about himself, so that never comes up for a test. It was never shared with anybody else. There's no need for the Tzibur to know. We only need a way of testing whether a Navi is real or fake if he's saying things for the public. So these rules only apply when he's saying things for the public. Because these rules, the rule that a positive Nevuah will never get reversed, that rule is only true so that there should be a way of testing who's a Navi Sheker and who's not. If you accept that, Zak the Tzlach, so then I can tell you that this only applies to ordinary Nevi'im. But it doesn't apply to Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, there doesn't have to be a way of testing if he's a Navi Emes or a Navi Sheker, Chas V'Shalom. The Pasuk says, V'gam b'choy yaminu la'ilam. Moshe Rabbeinu is beyond our courtroom. He doesn't have to stand trial about whether he's a good Navi or a bad Navi. And that, by the way, those two things both happened before Har Sinai. Right? Then he went up to Har Sinai and we all saw him get the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's no question about Moshe Rabbeinu, is he a Navi Emes, is he a Navi Sheker, and how do we test it? Nobody's bringing Moshe Rabbeinu to Beis Din, and you can't. It's a pasuk. So if so, his nevuahs don't have to come true.
His what?
His nevuahs don't have to come true. The whole reason why an nevuah l'toiva can't be undone is because there has to be a way of testing whether a Navi is Emes or Sheker. But since for Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't have to have a way of testing because he's axiomatically Emes, so then his nevuah doesn't have to come true. So he can make a nevuah that be me ezer, they can come be adrama, and it's going to be garam hachet. And because they weren't worthy, so they didn't come be adrama. Aye, so his nevuah is ending up false. Yeah, okay, shema garam hachet, so it was garam hachet. But isn't there a rule that that'll never happen on a positive nevuah? That's for all other nevi'im. Because that's the way that we test if it's if he's a real Navi or a faker. But since for Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't even contemplate Chas V'Shalom calling him a faker, Chas V'Shalom. Right, one of the Ikrei HaAmuna is that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is Emes. It's beyond the Emes of any other Navi. That's the whole Torah. Kol Tarkula is the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So on him, we don't have this rule. So it's not said. It comes out, I mean, it sounds almost humorous to this Chiddush. That because Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest of all the Nevi'im, so his Nevuahs don't have to be true. Every other Navi, his Nevuah has to be true, at least in Nevuah L'Teva. If it's for the public, it has to be true. But Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't. You get Shem Garma Chet, fine, so it won't come true. Because the whole reason why it has to come true is so that there's a way of testing whether he's a real Navi or a faker. Moshe Rabbeinu, we can never suspect him of being a faker because the Pasuk says, V'gam b'cho yaminu l'aylam. And therefore, his nevuah is allowed to have a loophole of Shem Yigar Machet.
That statement doesn't bother you?
It does. As a matter of fact, it does. And I'm...
You put in the cart before the horse.
Okay. I'm about to tell you so. Donnie, I'm with you 100%. I'm speaking out this slack. I'm saying it over. But I also want to call it into question. To say that this, you know, we have a yisoid that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something, right? It's the Gemara in Daf Zayin that kol divur v'divur sheyatzim mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'toiva afilu al tznai lo yichazar boi. I would think that Gemara is telling us a theological idea. This is something that about, so to speak, the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That be'etzim HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dibur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise is such that it'll never change. And Mimela, we could use that to test whether a Navi is a faker, because if he says that a Kosh Baruch Hu said something good will happen, and then it doesn't happen, so then you know, we should be able to test that will enable us to test if he's a faker. But not that the whole reason why it won't change is so that we have a way of testing whether a Navi is a faker. The reason why it won't change is because Chesed Mishal Kosh Baruch Hu MS. Kosh Baruch Hu is truthful. Kosh Baruch Hu is reliable. That's what I would think. I would think that the idea that the nevuah is supposed to be true is that's the fundamental principle, and the outgrowth of that is you could use that to test whether a navi is a faker, is a navi sheker, or a navi ms. But the tzlach is saying no, it's the opposite. There's no axiom that Kosh Baruch Hu's words have to be true. Of course, he's not a liar, but, you know, you have loopholes, like Shem Yigar Mechait. So, you know, he could say things that don't end up coming true. But he'll never do that with a Nevuah L'Teva, because if he would, we would have no way of testing whether a Navi is real or fake, and we have to have a way of testing. That's the whole reason why the Nevuah L'Teva is not gonna go false. So, I like the way you put it down. He says it seems like putting the cart before the horse. I think that would seem to be a fair criticism of this Yisoid of the Tzlach. Josh, you wanted to say something?
I was going to say something maybe like a situation with the Klai Yisrael getting out of Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
The promise is going to enter the land. But then they sinned hugely with the sin of the spies. And Hashem said, you know what, you're not going in.
Excellent.
I'm going to send the next generation.
Excellent. That's I think that's a very relevant Mar Makam over
with,
here.
Also with Moshe Rabbeinu.
That here you have Moshe Rabbeinu telling Yidden that I'm going to take you into Eretz Canaan. And then it was Garam Hachet, and they didn't go in.
Right. So I don't know why you
said
it to question. There's proof right there.
That's an instance that needs to be addressed. And the Tzlach's answer would help for that, because this is Moshe Rabbeinu.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe the Tzlach's answer would help for that. I like that. I think that's a very strong argument.
But that's with the Yachid, not with the Rabbin, because the Rabbin did go in. Just those people didn't go in.
But that's
no,
the whole generation that ended.
Yeah, but the whole generation of them didn't. Only two people went in. Kalev and Yeshua.
No, yeah, but I'm saying Okay.
I hear. Maybe that could be debated. But I was going to say that, you know, here, Donnie, you said, you know, you reacted at Misvar. You thought that this verse from the Tzlach seemed to be illogical. And it was my reaction also. However, I do have to put in his defense, that there's a lashon, the lashon of the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayis, I think sounds like this. But even though I wouldn't think it's this way, but I'm going to read you the lashon of the Rambam. To think that Hashem Baruch Hu could say something good is going to happen, right? The economy is going to be strong, and then it's not going to happen. This is something that cannot be. Because then there would be no way, we would be left with no way to determine the truthfulness of Amunas HaNavuah. Because Baruch Hu Nasan Lonu B'Teirasai Iker Shanavi Nivchan Kishei Amnav HaChaisav. Because Baruch Hu wrote in the Torah that you could test a Navi by checking out his predictions. And if we would say that even a Navu L'Teva could be false, then there'd be no way of checking his predictions. I think that sounds like the Tzlach. So, Misvara, I wouldn't have said so, but to say B'Das HaRambam, I can't say it's not acceptable, because it does sound like that from the Lashon of the Rambam. Okay, now...
From my understanding, there wasn't only one or two Nevi'im. There were many, hundreds of thousands.
Okay.
Everybody knew the Nevuah, but only one was allowed to say it. So you have a built-in system of watching this, that if nobody says something, but 100,000 or million of Nevi'im that they say at one time existed knew what the truth was. It's a built-in control system here.
No, you're referring to a Gemara Megillah that says that there were so many Nevi'im, but that doesn't mean that every time that Hashem said a Nevuah, let's say to Yeshaya, all of his peers that were Nevi'im were supposed to have heard the same Nevuah.
That's what I understood.
No, I don't think so.
It had to be all his peers, but it had to be somebody else.
Yeah.
It had to be verifiable by somebody else. Where did that come from?
That sounds not like this Rambam.
In Echrami, but I'm just saying...
Okay, I'm not aware of that.
That was another way of checking that Hashem didn't give a Nevuah just to one person. There were a lot of Nevi'im, and he gave the Nevuah. They may have interpreted it a certain different ways,
okay,
but they all came to the same gist that this is what
okay, I'd be interested in hearing Macarius for that, but I'm not aware of that.
Yeah.
Now, so the last point on this, the Lecha Mishnah answers the Kasha from Ezra differently. Again, the Tzlach has this very, very mechudishtik idea that it doesn't have to be true for Moshe Rabbeinu, because the whole reason why this you say is true is so that there's a way to test a Nevuah, a Navi, and you don't need a test for Moshe Rabbeinu. The Lecha Mishnah has what I think is a simpler answer, and somebody here said it, I think, already half an hour ago, that the pasuk that we're talking about over here, when we talk about the quote-unquote Nevuah for the Yemei Ezra, is not really a Nevuah. This is from the Az Yashir. Moshe Rabbeinu was singing a song. Who made up this song? This is Moshe Rabbeinu's song. Moshe Rabbeinu, in his song, he said this, let's say, prediction. Now, obviously Moshe Rabbeinu is not making things up on his own. Moshe Rabbeinu was very connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We talk about the Shechina being Medaberes Metech Greinai. Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, had Ruach HaKodesh. So I don't know exactly what all these different levels are and how to differentiate between them, but it's not exactly a Nevuah. It's not as Yashir is not a Koyamar Hashem. It's not like Moshe Rabbeinu came and said, Hashem said that in Bimei Ezra they're going to go and be Adrama. Moshe Rabbeinu included that in his song, and we would think that if something is written in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu put it into the Torah, so that should be something that's reliable, and then if it didn't happen, we could ask a Kasha. And the Torah says, Shema Yigram Achet. Okay, that was Gerim Achet. But it's not, maybe this, the Lecha Mishnah says, this doesn't go into the rules of Nevuah, because this was not Moshe Rabbeinu coming and saying, Hashem told me that this is what's going to happen. So that's, I think, a simpler answer to avoid the problem with the pseudo-Nevuah, or the so-called Nevuah regarding the Yemei Ezra. Now, before we do the next Gemara, a final point about this, about the Nevuah Yemei Ezra. There's an interesting Rashi here, where, if you take a look, three lines from the bottom, Rashi and Rasul El Shugar Machet is going on this Maisa with the Yemei Ezra, that Moshe Rabbeinu has said, Ad Yavram Hashem, Ad Yavram Zekunisa, that they're going to have a Yad Rama even in the times of Ezra. And then they didn't, and it was Gar Machet. They had to get permission from the Persian king. And as long as that Persian Empire was in existence, even after Koresh's times, they were really subservient to the kings of Persia. So that Tzlach asks the kash over here. He says, why do we need the whole second half of the Rashi? Rashi said it went on like this for years and years.
Historical.
He's teaching us some history. But from Pshat and the Gemara, the Nevuah was, Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavar Amduk Anisa. It's talking about the Bia, Teres Israel, the Bia Rishena and the Bia Shnia. Mm-hmm. And that happened to Bimei Kairesh. So Rashi says that when they came in, Bimei Kairesh, it was a political thing with permission. It wasn't an impressive, miraculous entry on our part. We had to come with permission from Kairesh. That's the Pshat in the Gemara. The fact that afterwards they were nishtabdu l'kairesh l'chashvesh l'devesh ha'achrein, which is really after the Bia, why does Rashi feel necessary to bring that in? So the Tzlach says that maybe this is because of what I was talking about before. Remember, we mentioned before that Tzlach brought in this Lamdish idea about the Kedusha Rishena and the Kedusha Shnia. The Kedusha Shnia is Kinshala Salavai, while the Kedusha Rishena is not. And the reason is because they didn't come with a military conquest. They came only with a Kinyan Chazaka. That's what enabled it to last forever. And the Tzlach had suggested before, that's why this isn't really a bad thing. It's a good thing, not a bad thing, in a way. It's a good thing because it ended up lasting forever. So he had wanted to say that explains how Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah could end up going bad because it was a public Nevuah. It's not supposed to go bad. It wasn't really bad because we're better off this way because that way the Kedusha lasted forever. But then he retracted this pshat because he said, the Gemara says that it was an example of going bad. The Gemara needed to come out to Shami Yigar Machet. So now he says, but after reading the Rashi, I'll say, no, that is the pshat in the Gemara. And that's why Rashi has to bring in that they were nishtabdu lahem l'kairish l'chashverish l'yavish achrein. Because the initial bia in the times of Kairish, the fact that that didn't happen so miraculously, that might be a good thing. Because that's why the Kedusha ended up lasting, was Kitchelah Salavai. Where did the Gemara see that there was a bad thing going on? From the fact that even afterwards, they were still Nishtabdu l'Achashveirosh u'l'dar Yavish Achrein. We didn't get anything out of that. There was no Gamzul Toiva on that. So that is a Raya Shigarim Hachet. The first part is not really Raya Shigarim Hachet, because maybe that was just, it didn't come true the way we expected, because it came true a different way, because that's a good thing that we ended up having the permanent Kedusha. So that's what Rashi has to bring in, that there was something that was just purely bad. And that is that even Bimei Achashverosh and Daryavesh, they still remain Meshubet and Machi Paras. So with this, he wants to resuscitate this pshat that he had rejected before. Based on this deacon, Rashi wants to resuscitate it. So now, I want to, and here again, there's a point that I think when I was speaking at this pshat before, somebody mentioned, and I want to revisit it. This Tzlach, like the previous one, I think there's a strong objection that you can make me svara. The Tzlach is saying that here the Rambam is giving us rules that if a Navi says a Nevuah, and it's supposed to be a good Nevuah, and it doesn't come true, so he's a Navi Sheker. So we had a Kasha, but Moshe Rabbeinu said something about the Yemei Ezra, and it didn't come true, so how could that be? So we gave an answer, and now, based on this Rashi, the Tzlach is willing to stand by that answer, and that is that, no, it really did come, that's not called it went bad, because it was good. It wasn't good in the way that we expected it to be good, but it was good in some other way, because that way the Kedusha ended up lasting forever. So, this is like, if somebody has a positive outlook, so he can always find the Gamzu L'Toyva in whatever happens, but The Rambam means to be saying that these are rules that are supposed to stand up in a court of law. And, I would think that, just L'mashal, if a Navi would have gotten up this past Toshana Rabbah, and he said in, very biblical words, and I turn my gaze to the south, and I do declaim upon the communities of the south that you shall be rich and abundant, and you shall stand in prosperity and security for years and years to come. And then, Rahman al-Tzlan, the next day, right, Simchas Torah, they all got wiped out, Rahman al-Tzlan, and people were killed and people were taken hostage. So I would say that Navi is a Navi Sheker.
Yeah.
But, you know, since that time, there's probably been, I don't know, 3,000 shiurim uploaded to TorahAnytime.com that talk about how there's you could see the Gamzul Tov and what happened because now the Achdus that are brought in Kal Yisrael, and you see how there are people keeping misses and never kept misses before and all these things. So now somebody's going to want to bring these Gamzul Tov shiurim into Beis Din as a defense of that Navi. I would think that, you know, then England never safe. Right. Then you can never, you know, you can always find Gamzul Tovas, but if there's a rule that a Nevuah L'Tovah has to be Miskayim and it can't go bad, then if it goes bad on the face of it, well, we would look at Kipshutai as being a failure to fulfill the good that he prophesied, then that should be considered a Nevuah Shekhar. To say, if there's a Nevuah that they're going to go in Biyad Rama in the times of Ezra, and they didn't, it was Nevuah Shekhar. Yeah, but we're happy that they didn't because it ended up having that the Kedusha could last for longer. Is that really how this is supposed to be treated? Again, if we just want to think about Gamzul Tov, we could do that. But in Beis Din, when we're trying somebody to be a Nevuah Shekhar, is that really an acceptable argument? I think that seems very debatable. That seems like a very big Kiddush. Again, that's what this tzlach seems to be postulating, but I think that's very debatable. I would say that the pashtus is that this would be considered Nevuah Shekhar. Again, so how do you reconcile that? So one of the other answers that we gave, either that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah follows different rules, which also seems surprising, but we had some nice diuk in the Rambam to justify it, or the Lech HaMishnah says that this was never really meant as a Nevuah in the first place. Okay, so that's the Shem Yigram HaChet part of the sugya. Yeah, Donnie?
The story with Ezra.
Yeah.
It wasn't Yad Rama because the Yidden didn't even go themselves. 42,530 Yidden went. And Ezra himself was very upset. The Levium didn't go, and he took away Maisa from them. Okay? The Chevri went, and the place was destroyed. But the Maisa, the good people in the story, was Kairush and Dayavish. Because there was resistance, and they fought against the Yidden who came there, the people living there, the Samaritans. Uh-huh. They fought against the Yidden, and they said the Yidden shouldn't be here, and they're usurping the rule. And Kairush and the Yavish got the letter from Nehemiah, and he said, you know what? They're liars. I'm going to support you. And the story, the hero was Kairush and the Yavish.
Okay.
They were, so in a way it wasn't Yad Rama. A lot of it had to do with the fact that the Jews themselves didn't go with Biyan Rama, okay?
Okay, that's maybe part of the hate that we're talking about, the Gar Rama hate.
But ultimate good was, the prediction was you had a political ally who easily could have turned the other way and saying, you know what, guys, they're right, get out of there. You're usurping, you're occupiers.
Occupiers.
Okay? And the world would have turned against him. But Koresh and Dayavish were very strong. They gave him all the gold.
So do you mean to be saying, so maybe that's the Yad Rama?
That's the Yad Rama. That's what...
But again, the Gemara says it was Gar Machet.
It wasn't Yad Rama of 3 million yin coming and going there. It was 42,000 that came. Okay? So they didn't play that part. Okay, so that was the hate that they did. That I'm giving you the opportunity to go back. Yeah. I would just say, go back, take it, build the base of Mikdash, and they did it. Okay, and he still supported them, and he still. You know,
yeah, that's very impressive.
All right. He had less political headaches. Was saying, you know what, get those guys back here, or do what you want, rather than supporting them and backing them.
Yeah, there's a lot of
the world doesn't change.
A lot of overtures of that are playing nowadays. Also,
what happens is stays the same.
Okay. All right. New Gemara. We're getting back. The Gemara returns now to the Mishnah. The Chachamim Oimrim Ad Chatzos. The Mishnah said that there's a sheet of the Chachamim. The first time on the Mishnah was Rabbi Eliezer. He said that the Zman Krishma is Ad Sefer Shemur Rishena. The Chachamim say it's Ad Chatzos. And then Rabbi Gamliel, remember, he said Ad Shial Amud HaShachar. So the Gemara asks, Chachamim Kaman Sfirlu, who do the Chachamim hold like? And Rashi explains, the Gemara is Kasha, B'mashmo'us B'shachbacha Ha'omer B'teira. whom do they, which interpretation of Meshach Mecha do they go with? Meaning, now who do they hold on? We know what they hold. They hold Chatzais. Not as early as Rav Elazar, not as late as Rav Gamliel. They have a middle Shita, Chatzais. But the Gemara wants to know, but what's their interpretation of the word Meshach Mecha? Because we see two ways of interpreting Meshach Mecha. Does it mean when people are going to sleep? Or does it mean as long as people are sleeping? If they hold like Rav Elazar, that Meshach Mecha means when people are going to sleep, then Lemu Rav Elazar. Then they should have said like Rav Elazar till the end of the first Ashmura, because that's when people go to sleep. The Gemara doesn't think it's mustaber that the Chachamim hold that people are still going to sleep 2 hours later. And if they held like Rav Gamliel, that the meaning of Meshach Mecha is all night long, Lemu Rav Gamliel, then let them say all night long. Because if... you know, if it means as long as people are sleeping, so that of course means until the morning. So why do they cut you off at Chatzais? So Gemara answers, La'olim kamen gamliel svirlu. Really, they learn the kamen gamliel that b'shach b'cham means all night long, and midei raisa the zman of kriyishma is all night long. V'had dekamri at Chatzais, and that which they said that you need to read before until Chatzais, kedei laharchek as adam and aveira, is only to distance a person from aveira. Mm-hmm. Okay, which is how we explain them when we learn the Mishnah. Kedisanya, as we were taught in a Braisa, Chachamim asu siyag l'divrayhem, that the Chachamim made a fence around their words. Kedei shalaya he adam bam min asada ba'erev. Right, you imagine you'd have a person. He comes home from the field, meaning he's working the field all day. He comes home in the evening. Va'imran, he'll say, Eilecha basi, I'll go home. Eichel kimal, eat a little bit. Eshte kimal, drink a little bit. Va'ishan kimal, and I'll sleep a little bit. And after that, I'll read Kriya Shema, Vespalel, and I'll daven. In other words, okay, I'll be relaxed, I'll do all the things I want to do, and eventually I'll get to Kriya Shema and Tamar, and what's going to happen? And the sleep will grab him. He'll end up sleeping all night long, and he'll miss Kriya Shema, and he'll miss Tefillah. So therefore, we don't allow that. A person comes home from work in the evening, he has to go right to shul. He doesn't go home first. In Raga Likrais, if he knows how to learn Chumash, Kairi, he should learn Chumash. In Raga Lishnais, if he knows how to learn Mishnah, Shaina, he should learn Mishnah. And then, well, as soon as it gets dark, Kairi Kriyashma, he should read Kriyashma. Umis Bali, he should have an Arvis. And then, Va'ichal Pita, he should eat his bread, his meal, Umavarech, and he should make a bracha. And the Raisa concludes, V'chal Oibral Divichachamim Chayav Misa. And you better follow this, otherwise, Chayav Misa. Okay, well, now that last line, of course, is going to grab the Gemara's attention, but let's put that on hold. So the Gemara is bringing this braisa to show that the Chachamim were very cautious around Kriya Shema, particularly Shal Arvis, because they were afraid of people falling asleep. The Kriya Shema Shal Shacharis, most mitzvahs are not really so vulnerable. We could trust people to do the mitzvahs. But Kriya Shema Shal Arvis we're particularly nervous about because it's the nighttime and you put your head down and that's it. You could be out for the whole night. So therefore, they made these safeguards. Now the Rishonim point out, we don't have time to really work through the Rishonim in detail, but according to all of the Pshatim, the Gemara brings this braisa to show that the Chachamim made a siyag. It's a safeguard that you shouldn't read at the end and that you have to read before Chatzais. It does not say that in the Braisa. This Braisa doesn't say anything about reading before Chatzais. But the Rashba speaks out that the Gemara means to show that the Chachamim were very cautious when it came to creation of Shal Arvis, and they made safeguards. And just like they made this safeguard of the Braisa, they also made this other safeguard that we read in the Mishnah. And the safeguard in the Braisa is that they said you shouldn't eat supper before you daven Ma'ariv. And by the same token, the Gemara means to say they made this safeguard that you should read Kriya Shema before Chatzos, you shouldn't leave it till the end of the night. So we're not really finding in the Braisa what we're trying to prove, but we're finding the concept, and we're extrapolating from that that could be a good shot on the Mishnah. The Mishnah is also based on a siyag. All right, you know, I guess we'll stop here. Maybe next time we'll pick up with a little more of this Gemara.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.